always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Investigators now believe the crew of the Black Hawk helicopter that collided with an American Airlines jet near Reagan National Airport last month did not hear the air traffic controller's order to pass behind the plane. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy again assured the flying public.
Aviation is the safest mode of transportation. I say this often. You are at greater risk getting into your car to and from the airport.
President Trump has picked a date to slap tariffs on imported cars.
April 2nd. I would have done them on April 1st. Believe it or not, I'm a little superstitious.
Reporter Chris Miller at WWL Radio in New Orleans tells us Louisiana health officials are pulling the plug on some vaccination programs.
Louisiana's Department of Health will no longer sponsor mass vaccination clinics and is forbidding staff from promoting seasonal vaccines like flu shots.
As of December, only 11% of Louisiana children had been vaccinated against the flu. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a winter weather advisory that starts at 4 p.m. today and continues through 6 a.m. on Saturday. 3 to 7 inches of snow are expected, and snow may become heavy at times. This winter weather advisory covers Marathon, Portage, Wood, and other surrounding counties. You can plan on snow-covered and slippery road conditions. The heavy snow will cause reduced visibility at times. Visibility may fall to 1/2 mile or less. These hazardous conditions could impact your drive home Friday night. An alarming number of heart attacks are linked to shoveling snow, and the risks increase with age. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains heart attack snow.
With the combination of cold temperatures and sudden physical exertion, a problem is created. The cold temperatures constrict blood vessels, making it harder for the blood to flow efficiently. So when you pair this with the physical strain of lifting heavy snow, this increases blood pressure and heart rate, forcing the heart to work much harder. And for someone with underlying heart disease or risk factors like high blood pressure, diabetes, or obesity, this sudden exertion can trigger a heart attack. So people should pace themselves and take regular breaks, probably every 10 to 15 minutes. And using a smaller shovel will help to limit the weight of each load. And if you can, push the snow rather than lifting and tossing it. That'll help reduce strain on the heart.
Several Clark County snowmobile trails opened at 8 a.m. on Friday. You can expect poor early season riding conditions. You should use extreme caution when riding, as there are areas with icy patches, thin base, and very rough agricultural fields. You must yield to all trail groomers. Remember that riding on closed trails is trespassing. ATV/UTV use is not permitted at this time. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Marquette looking for back-to-back wins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Marquette on the road at Villanova a week from tonight. Marquette fell to 18th after losing three in a row. Head coach Chuck is smart on hoping his guys can get another win next Friday night.
We've been through a tough stretch the last few games. You know, we have a lot of pride in this program, so we don't take kindly to losing, and we have a sense of urgency to grow and improve.
In the Big Ten, Wisconsin battles the Purdue Boilermakers tomorrow at noon in West Lafayette. NBA All-Star Weekend in San Francisco. Damian Lillard is there competing in the three-point tournament tomorrow night and the All-Star game Sunday evening. Baseball, Freddy Peralta named the Brewers starting pitcher for opening day in New York against the Yankees.
Keep doing what we've been doing. Everything starts here now. In spring training, pitchers and catcher, everything starts here. Like, you know, making everybody feel comfortable and just wait for the position players and pull all that together and get ready for the season.
That's the Brewers ace, Freddy Peralta, with sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A winter weather advisory starts at 4 o'clock and continues into the night. With around 1 to 2 inches of snow expected on the ground by this evening, we'll be waking up to around 4 inches or so. Then, another 1 to 3 inches is possible Saturday, before the cold crashes in on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 22 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend's headlines and give a preview to the spring primary election on Tuesday. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, February 14th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two, we're going to talk with Michael Barnes, Marketing Director with the Wisconsin Rapids Winter's Farmers Market, thanks to our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Shout out to them. And a big shout out to my former stomping grounds, Lincoln High School. We've got a bunch of kids in from Lincoln here. We have the FACT members in today. We're going to be talking about what FACT is, what the organization is doing, and what these kids are doing as a part of it, and how they're really impacting our community and making it better. I'm going to go ahead and go down the line for all of these. And as I said during our pregame, I apologize, but I will let you start, my man, if you don't mind getting right up to the mic and introducing yourself.
My name is Michael, and I'm a sophomore.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for being here, man.
I'm Vanessa, and I'm a freshman.
Hey, Vanessa. Thank you for being here. And if you want to share Michael's microphone with him, that might be a little bit easier for the two of you. Thank you for that. And go.
I'm Allison. I'm also a freshman.
Hey, Allison. Thanks for being here.
I'm Isabel. I'm also a freshman.
Isabel, nice to have you here again. Thank you very much. And to see some familiar faces and see some new ones, and always appreciate that. Thanks so much for being here, you guys. I want to get into right away letting the audience know what FACT is, what this organization is about, and what you guys are doing. Who would like to take that? Who can I put on the spot? I mean, ask that question too. But.
So FACT is a youth-led organization that helps inform kids and parents about what is put in your bodies when you vape, smoke, inject, or inhale any kind of nicotine, weed, stuff like that.
It's great. That's perfect. Nicely done. Nicely done. And this is a topic that has been an issue since I was a kid, long before I was born or anything. And I think that having the perspective of that and being old, I can tell you that we've come a long way with this topic. When I was a kid, you walk into a gas station and there's a billion type of cigarette brands and menthol and all this. And we've gotten a riddle out of that. And that's been a real encouragement. That's been great for our society and everything. But unfortunately, a lot of those companies have shifted from that to vaping and going into that. And it hit a whole different audience, if you will, and some of that. So we've got a real concern there. While we're kind of fixing one thing and helping one thing in society, we have another issue over here. And part of that issue, like when I was in school, it was becoming less and less, quote, cool to smoke a cigarette or something like that. It was on the tail end of it. And by the time I was in my 20s and everything, it became the opposite of cool to smoke cigarettes or anything like that. Unfortunately, it seems like that has kind of shifted that narrative a little bit with the youth and vaping. And the peer pressure that I can imagine can exist with that, because being a former teenager, which I was, I know it's hard to imagine, but I was a teenager at one time, and a very like rebel without a pause, as my mom would say. Like I had willpower, I had all those things, and I still dealt with peer pressure all the time. I imagine that it's still an issue. Is it an issue with this topic? Is it part of the reason for the organization to kind of help with that and kind of, for lack of a better word, counter some of that peer pressure with peer support?
Yeah.
Would you say that that's kind of part of this too, is kind of countering peer pressure with peer support?
Yes.
Yeah. Which first off, I want to just, I'm sorry I skated past this right away. A shout out to you guys and all the other FACT members. This is one of the cooler things you guys are going to do. Like, just period. In your whole careers, in your collegiate careers or anything, this is going to be one of the more important, impactful things you can do. If you help one kid have some support, if you help one kid not grab a vape or anything, you've done your job, let alone all the other people that can and stuff. And not for nothing, but when I was in school, I wish there was a group like this. I wish there was a group that was kind of countering the other side of things and being able to help with that. Have you guys found support through your from your fellow classmates with this with what you're doing here with this? Have you seen more? I'm sure there's always going to be some negative, but mostly positive reinforcement from this.
Yeah, when we were in the middle school, I think we had 5 members, and now we have like 10 in both Lincoln and middle school.
Right on, right on. Very good to hear. Very, very encouraging to hear. Every time I have kids in here, I feel better about the future. Every single time. You guys have already done it. We're not even 5 minutes into this interview. Nice work. I do want to go down the line with a couple of things. First, I'd like to find out why you got involved with this organization. And Michael, I'll start with you.
I got involved in the fact because I'd never really joined a club, and this was the first one I saw, so figured I'd join.
Right on. Yeah, it's good a reason as any. Yeah. Have you found, you've learned a lot from this organization, doing this and being a part of this?
Yeah, we've learned quite a bit doing questionnaires, which we'll get into later.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you, Michael. And we'll just go down the line here. What have you, why did you want to join this group?
I've never really been in a club before, and all my friends were in it, so I decided to join that.
Yeah, good reason.
Yeah, at first it was just because a bunch of my friends were in it, but then I also thought if it was a bigger club, like, it could actually help so much more than just having 5 people.
Yeah.
In my 6th grade year, FACT was struggling to, like, become a club, so me and a bunch of friends joined, and we started, like, having good time informing people. I just haven't quit.
Fantastic. Great answers, you guys. Great answers. We're speaking with the FACT group from Lincoln High School right now, and you guys have different things that you're kind of centering on, if you will. And I want to go down the line here and talk a little bit about some of that. And Michael, let's start with you and your some of the FACT initiatives.
Where is the paper?
So, Michael, you had some initiatives for us. What do you got there, bud?
Some initiatives that we've done so far during this year is we did a duck scavenger hunt. So we'd hide these little rubber ducks all around the school. And then if you would find them, there would be, like, a message on top of, under them or somewhere near about, like, vaping.
Yeah.
We've done a anonymous questionnaire with, we've gotten a lot of feedback from all grades, middle school and also high school.
That's a good idea. Both are really good ideas. Oh, those are fun. That's a great way. And, I think one of the things you learn, too, so much the older you get, not only one of your best friends is going to be perspective. That's a great one. But also just the communicating with people. And very few people will listen when you talk down to them or you're talking at them. But you talk with them or you give them the opportunity to learn, like with the ducks or something like that, where they're just randomly kind of coming across this stuff. People take that in so much better. And that's something that took me a decade into my adulthood to learn that you guys already got down. That's cool. That's really fun. Thank you for that, Michael. Appreciate it. Allison, what do you have for us?
I'm not Allison.
I know I looked right at you when I said it to you. I knew you weren't Allison, but Vanessa, would you?
Yeah, so there's a lot of health risks that come with vaping, like a lot of lung problems, heart problems, and things like nicotine poisoning can happen. It's really damaging to the lungs, causes like asthma and bronchitis and like different lung infections, which obviously isn't good to have those because those aren't fun. And yeah, just elevates your blood pressure and adrenaline.
I did my homework before this interview. I prep for all my interviews for Midday Magazine, and it turns out, yes, breathing is very important.
Yeah.
Breathing really helps. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing. Anybody can speak to this, too, if you have done these things and you haven't, and what it's like to take that first breath in the morning or the first time you step outside and take that deep breath. I've been honest with the audience about this. I was a tobacco smoker for years, and I stopped, I think 10, 13 years ago, something anything like that. Congrats. And thank you. Thank you very much for that. That was nice. There were so many things that I was told years and years that, oh, this, you're gonna feel better from this. You're going to feel better from that. There were so many things I didn't know. My taste buds came back. And food is amazing. Food is awesome. And I didn't realize how much I was missing out on with that. That first breath in the morning, the way nature, I don't care what day of the year it is or anything like that. It Mother Nature, when she hits those lungs, it feels good. There's certain things that really are added bonuses to not smoking or not vaping or anything. Let me look up the positives to vaping and smoking. Oh, nothing. Nothing. Zero. There is literally no positives to doing these things. Nothing but negatives. And I speak to this as somebody who used to do it and everything. So I'm not just throwing that out there or anything. You can go ahead and look it up yourself. Throw it in your search engine, everybody. There is literally no positives to this other than kind of the opinions of these companies and what they tell you can be beneficial to you, which, and I say beneficial in quotes. Now, the positives to not doing it, well, any scientist, any doctor, anybody, and these kids will tell you the positives of it. And I think that's a great thing to kind of highlight there, Vanessa. Thank you for that. And I promise not to call you Allison again. But Allison, what do you have that you wanted to focus on?
So I'm focusing on the stress of vaping. And most people think that kids vape just to be cool or because of peer pressure. But actually, the majority of them vape to cope with stress and anxiety. But most people just need to realize that that's like the worst thing you could possibly do. It just makes all your anxiety and depression way worse, and it affects your mental health way more than you would ever think it could.
It's something that I, again, one of those things that I don't think you completely realize until you're out of the fog of it, out of the smoke of it, if you will. And it's something too that I should also mention too. I think it's kind of understandable to a degree, not for kids, I will say, but when we're talking about adults here, because a lot of our listeners out there are older and adults. That, you know, whether it is marketing and kind of the stresses of life and stuff, that it's understandable for people to look for a release. And I think that that's all right. It's just as long as you understand what is a true release. When you exercise, when you go for a walk, play with your family dog or your kids or something like that, that releases endorphins. That releases healthy things in your brain. These things are tricking you. These things are trying. They're telling you one thing but doing another. They're saying that, hey, this is going to relieve stress. When really all it does is it may take just a tiny bit of stress away from your life, and all it does is just pile on a ton more stress. Where am I going to get my next cigarette? Where am I going to get my next vape thing? Where am I going to do this? Do I have enough? These, and that's just off the top of my head. I mean, there's 100 other things that it leads to too. And I'm not, again, just saying this stuff. I don't just do that on the air. I have researched this. This is science talking. This isn't just me. I'm only repeating actual smart people. I don't really know this for fact, but I can tell you that scientifically, the impact this has on your brain is nothing but negative, and really takes you steps back from achieving what you want to, of having a more peaceful, stressless life. It really the ends don't justify the means with it. And while the marketing and some of these other things may tell you that, even friends or family may tell you this, hey, it works for me or whatever, that's a lie to their brain. You're lying to your brain, you're lying to your body with that. There are actual beneficial ways to get a release. Exercise, I mentioned as one of them, but there's so many others out there and great resources for you when it comes to that. It's a nice one. Thank you, Allison. Isabel. What do you have for us?
Just background and the addiction of all of those things. Vapes were first created to stop the addiction of smoking and doing weed, and they were created without codeine, methadone, any THC and stuff like that. It only had a small amount of nicotine to help you stop. And then people became addicted to how easy it was to get it, how easy it was to hold it, stuff like that, and 10% of teens between 12 and 17 use them and are addicted. Many buy them from or sell them. They get them from their parents because obviously you can't buy them under the age of 21. And most are addicted to vapes that contain THC. It has been proven that nicotine obviously doesn't do enough, and fentanyl and THC is where it's at. And that's what most people think.
And there is another one of the dangers of this, too, is the mixing of things or to be honest, and this isn't a shot at these companies or anything like that, although I have no problem doing that. These companies are also not exactly run perfectly. Like, there's things that happen. Even with an everyday pack of cigarettes back in the day, bad things could happen, let alone with these things where you're involving so many more chemicals and liquids and different stuff. It's not a perfect science. And that's just that alone, let alone the way that this can lead to other things. It's important to note that. I appreciate that, Isabel. That's really good. We are speaking with the FACT group from Lincoln High School, talking a little bit about the great work that they are doing over there and the activism with this. I'd like to go down the line with another question real quick. And you've told us why you joined this group. Is there any information that has come up while you've been a part of the group or anything that has kind of surprised even you? I think almost all of this would be surprising to me because, again, I ain't been in school in a while. But for you guys, even being in the heart of it and still being kind of like taken back by a stat you saw or something you interacted with or maybe even some positive feedback that you've gotten. Is there anything that has really kind of stood out to you or surprised you since you've been a part of the FACT group? Michael, I'll start with you. And you don't have to have an answer, by the way, guys. I see the looks on your faces. I'm like, look, you don't have to. I'm just curious if you do.
Yeah. So when we did the questionnaire, we had a good majority of even people that didn't vape paranoid about getting caught. Because we have vape detectors in the bathrooms. Well, people were paranoid that if they go to the bathroom and the vape detector goes off, will they get in trouble as well?
Yeah. I would have been one of those kids. I'd have been worried about that. That's an understandable worry. And when you hear that stuff or when you see that kind of data, that's the way that you're able to counter that with facts. That's where you're counter that with, no, you won't get in trouble or whatever the case might be. And so many of these questions we keep in our head and we don't ask and then we don't get those answers. That's really cool. That's cool to hear that the question came up and that you guys were able to answer it. Thank you for sharing that, Michael. Joan. No, I'm joking. I just tried to mess with you a little bit. Vanessa, what do you have for?
I don't know. Like everything, I don't know. I didn't really know a lot about vaping and stuff. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that like do it, but I didn't know like certain like risks that it has.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great answer. Just how eye-opening it was for you, even. I can hear in your voice that it was. That's mm-hmm. interesting. Hmm. Allison, how about for you? Was there anything for you?
Yeah, so just like Vanessa said, just realizing how many people actually do vape just in our one school. And yeah. The kids can be like so addicted and obsessed with this that they'll get suspended over and over again and expelled just to go vape.
Isabel?
I learned a bunch of things while on FACT and the board. And one of them was because fentanyl is so addictive, 2 milligrams of fentanyl is a lethal dose. So doing it, even one can kill you. And many of these vapes have like 10 milligrams in them. So smoking a vape in one sitting could kill you. And that's, I think it was 780,000 Americans die from things like this each year.
Yeah.
And just to add to that, the 2 milligrams of fentanyl, that's just the end of a pencil.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just staggering. And
many addicts, like even adults, they don't do only 2. They mix it with marijuana, codeine, things like that, and they put 10 milligrams in it and they smoke it in one sitting. Mm. And there's not really a cure for overdose besides trying to stop your dopamine receptors from basically exploding.
Yeah, that's a really good notes. I appreciate that. And you know, again, I do my homework for these things, and even as an adult and pretty in the know of a lot of this, I've learned from you guys today. I've learned some things. It's one of the things, one of the side stories I wanted with this conversation. And anytime we have you kids, and we need to do this and make this more normal in society for adults to hear kids. We need more of that. It doesn't happen enough. And you guys have a lot to say and a lot of information that we don't have. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys not only informing me, but our audience by some of this stuff. And Isabel, we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the activism that you guys are doing and some of the other actions you're up to.
So we have, last year we did a community breakfast with people like the mayor, the police, chief of police. And this year we are doing the same thing, to inform not just people in the school, but the community about the dangers. We recently did a video that will be showed across the school. It's like a little skit about why it's so bad for you. We did an anonymous questionnaire thing about how people have experienced vaping and smoking and things like that in school. A few of the ones that were like really impactful were when people say, I'm scared to go to the bathroom, scared for my life. I don't use the bathroom during the day because I'm afraid I'll get caught. Many of my friends have left me because they were mad that I didn't vape with them. And then there were so many more.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Another one was stress and stress kit, how vaping and people vaping around you stress you out, and then handing out things that can stop you from vaping.
Yeah. I understand you guys actually collect a lot of vapes a month, quite a few, even just in a month's time. I was a little surprised by that number.
We collect about 50 vapes a month, and then we also do a thing where you can anonymously turn in a vape. No questions asked. There will be no judgment. And, yeah.
You know, just listening to you guys and hearing some of what you're talking about and remembering what it was like to be your age and everything, that shame part of it is such a key part of this conversation and not wanting to shame people. Not, again, wanting to talk down to anybody or put ourselves above anyone else or anything like that. We all need a hand up sometimes. And giving, you know, your peers that is one of the greater gifts you can give, not only to them, but to yourself. You just don't know how good that can feel to be there for somebody. And you just never know down the line where that karma might help you and somebody's there for you. It's some really important notes and just another reminder of not only how we as adults need to pay more attention to what's going on with you guys and listen to you guys more. And I mean kids just in general of all ages. But also how one of the most powerful weapons we all have, and every one of us have this superpower, empathy. Just a little bit of empathy. You guys are talking about a topic that is very divisive and can be very, you know, a very separator in school, or even as adults it can be and stuff. But all I'm hearing is fellowship and togetherness from you guys, and hearing support from you guys, and no judgment at all in any of your tone or voices, anything we've covered today. It's all been about just getting the information out there and trying to show some support. That we got some amazing teachers in this community and a great education system, and nobody can teach that. You've got to learn that yourselves, and you guys are picking up on that, and this organization, this group is. I'm very impressed by it. If people would like to find out more about what you guys are doing or anything like that, do you have a Facebook page or anything?
There is an Instagram page, a Facebook page, and a Snapchat page, but you can also go to factmovement.org.
Cool. I got to look that up. I got to find that.
Fact is all capitalized, I believe.
Oh, no, all lowercase.
All lowercase.
Okay. Well, if you can't find it, try both. I would say try both. That's what I do anyway.
No spaces.
Yeah, no spaces. That's a good one, too. And thank you. Thank you all, not only for the time today, but for putting so much time and effort of your own lives into this. And certainly, again, thank you from the audience, because there are so many things we touched on today that me and my old folk wouldn't know otherwise. So I do appreciate the time, you guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk again real soon. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Absolutely.
And we'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and share this overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old, and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Craft store Joann Fabrics is closing 500 stores across the country, including 16 here in Wisconsin. The Stevens Point location, as well as the Marshfield store, will be closing in a couple of months. The company had sought Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection last year, but now will be making the move to close underperforming stores. Only 300 locations will remain open nationwide. Liquidation can take anywhere from 2 to 3 months, but they will still take credit card payments until closer to the store actually closing. We may not like the cold very much, but our cranberries sure do. Brittany Merlot has more information on how the cold is good for our cranberry farmers and necessary to keep cranberry beds healthy.
Wisconsin is the number one cranberry producer, growing over 400,000 tons of crop every year. Once the harvest is over, they start flooding the cranberry beds with water and freezing them. And when the beds freeze, it gives the crop a protective layer of ice, which is crucial for it to survive. And when it's finally all ice, it's time to sand the beds. This protects the vines, stimulates root growth and renewal. And if the cranberry vines don't get enough water, they may die and cause issues for the farmers. This can also impact you, especially if you love to eat or use cranberries. So sometimes we have to weather the cold for a good reason. Cranberry season starts mid-September.
Two Lincoln High School students will have their artwork on display at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Ella Panter and Angel Holmes received the Scholastic Art Silver Key Award. Their work, titled Green and Glowing Burst of Curiosity, will be displayed at the Milwaukee Art Museum through early March. You can see pictures of these award-winning artwork pieces on the Wisconsin Rapids Public School Facebook page. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Forever bros Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are coming under fire from Kansas City Chiefs fans for having a double date with their best girls, Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes, fairly certain it was in that order, just 24 hours before the Super Bowl. What? Word on the street is that Taylor Swift ordered a huge Kobe burger and French fries, and according to Chiefs fans on social media, that could be exactly why the Chiefs laid an egg in front of a worldwide audience while trying to three-peat. No idea what Kelce and Mahomes had to eat, but after seeing the way they played during the big game, I'm guessing it had lots of tryptophan. Irate Chiefs fans, most of whom I'm guessing probably never played in a Super Bowl, disapproved of the double date, insinuating that said date and hanging with girls so close to the big game was obviously the reason the Chiefs lost. If only Kansas City sports fans provided the two football players with this information beforehand. It just seems like a no-brainer to me. You can't eat 2 days before the big game. There's nothing funnier than irrational sports fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, snow will come down. It could be heavy at times, and we'll pick up about 3 to 5 inches of accumulation, maybe more in pockets, low around 15. For Saturday, snow before noon, then cloudy skies and a high near 27. Sunday's high around 15.
Right now, it's 22.
Better begins with human kindness. It's in a smile, a listening ear, a helping hand. At Aspirus Health, better begins with knowing you and your family, learning your health journey and your health needs. Aspirus caregivers are here to listen and provide the personalized care you deserve. For when you need to be better, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underle is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underly or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, February 14th, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. We want to send a big thank you to our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, always giving of their time and giving their time today to the Wisconsin Rapids Farmers Market. We got Michael Barnes in with us, Marketing Director. Michael, always good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Appreciate the time, as always, man. Love getting into this. We're going to get into a bit of the history and what the Winter's Farmers Market is. Before we do want to let everybody know, just a quick note about the farmers market tomorrow, the February 16th.
Yeah, tomorrow on
15th.
15th. Yeah. I thought I'd missed a day there.
Time is a blur.
Yes, there is a funeral that there was a confliction with the space. So we will be closed tomorrow, but we'll be back up and running on the 22nd with all your favorite goodies, and we'll run through May 10th, I believe it is. So.
Mm-hmm. Michael, thank you for that. When did the farmers market start? When did that begin?
Well, in the winter of 2021, the Wisconsin Rapids Visitors Convention and Visitors Bureau, that's a long name to get by.
It is. Yeah.
they had done a test market of that the year before, and they felt it was successful and something that could go in this area. We hadn't had a winter's market here in quite some time. And so they put it out there to the community, and we were the ones that bit and said, yeah, we'll try it. So that's what we've been doing since.
I was trying to find some history even farther back from this, like you mentioned, what there was of this before then and everything. And the only thing I really saw was a lot of feedback, a lot of comments of wanting something like this, of seeing a need for this even before really the ball really got rolling and everything. I think it's a credit to the Visitors Bureau and the great work that they do, how much they pay attention into the community, and certainly above and beyond of our Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church and hosting this, because that's kind of where we go to next. While we our summer market, we have a good spot for it, a very popular spot for it and everything. Winter's Farmers Market, especially here in Wisconsin, boy, you need some space and you need a room. You need a warm place. It works out so perfectly that where the summer's market is just kitty corner to where the Winter Farmer Market is.
Yes, just down the street. Well, you know, as everybody in Wisconsin knows, it's pretty cold outside.
Yeah,
I don't know that you want to be wandering the streets at 10 degrees.
No.
You know, so you do need a warm space, and it creates challenges for us on the types of vendors we can bring in and the things we can do. But we keep on pitching, as they say. And this market, I do know there was a history of a winter's farmers market way, way back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you were in town when we used to have a mall.
Yeah.
Way back then. So I don't think it's been anything since then. I mean, it's a long ways back.
And, you know, certainly the community has shown in droves how much they appreciate this, how much they use this, buy from these vendors and everything. Something that we'll touch on here and there as well is the what this creates, too. The economic impact this has on a community is certainly noteworthy. You have people coming from out of town to these things. You have locals in town that may not be on this side of town normally, so they're going over there. There's that part of it that is certainly an impact. The just giving people somewhere to go in the winter. And somewhere to come, you know, talk with others and conversate and everything. That creates synergy, that creates connections and different conversations that probably would not happen otherwise, especially face to face, where we all know we talk a little bit differently and more personable when we're in person. And all that is very important. But I first off, the first thing I think of, and I have since I was a little kid growing up in Chicago and attending farmers markets my whole life, is the vendors, is the people. And these are individuals that are the backbone of our country, are the backbone of our state. And we don't give them enough opportunities in society to sell their goods, to simply make a living, to do their job. The Windsor's Farmer's Market creates that. It gives that opportunity. It gives people an opening that they wouldn't have otherwise, just bluntly. It just wouldn't have it. So if they make 5 cents going to the Windsor's Farmer's Market, that's 5 more cents they would not have had going through these cold winter months. Anything that helps our ag industry, anybody that helps our independent industry and independent workers out there and stuff, there's no downside to that. There's no negative to that. And I greatly appreciate that the Winters Farmers Market and you and your team and all the work you guys do for this are giving those opportunities, certainly, again, to consumers out there that are getting great products and really enjoy these products and count on them. But first and foremost, to me, to these vendors.
Yes, the vendors are, really the truest small business there is.
Yeah.
You want to talk about small, these are small business people.
Yeah.
And these are people that are many of them trying to earn a living doing a particular craft or a particular thing they're good at, say, such as baking or making salsas. These people are trying to make a living doing this, and they do need places to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some events during the winter, but this is one that consistently is there week after week for them, taking up that space that they don't have from October till June.
You know, and it's another thing, too, when I think about this, it may seem corny to some people, but I genuinely believe this. It's helping people live the American dream. Like, it genuinely is the oldest American dream there is, to make a living, a good living, doing what you love to do. It's one of the first, if not the oldest dream that we've had in this country. And you're helping people do that. You're helping these individuals fulfill that dream. Not only are you getting great products and maybe enjoying yourself and getting some conversation and getting out of the house a little bit, all these other things, you're going to feel good knowing that you're impacting that, you're helping that you are truly buying local, supporting local. Michael, when it comes to the time of when the Winter's Farmers Market is, let's treat this as if we got people out there listening and never heard of the Winter Farmers Market, all that. It's hard to imagine, but that there are some people out there. When is the Winter's Farmers Market? When can people look forward to it next Saturday?
Okay, next Saturday. It's going to be every Saturday, 9 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Sort of traditional, I should say, market times. And it'll run starting again next Saturday through May 10th. There will be one weekend, the Easter weekend, that we will not be there. But otherwise, we're going to be there every weekend, weather permitting. Fortunately, we've only had one weather event in the years we've run it so far, and this will be the first time that a funeral is actually coming the way. So we're pretty steady. We're pretty steady Eddie on that.
And keeping in mind, too, that when it comes to that, that the spring sessions are right around the corner, warms things up around here a little bit thinking about that. They'll have 6 weeks of the spring farmers market. That'll be from April 5th to May 10th. It includes Easter events and many other great things we'll talk more about as we get closer to it. But just to put that drop that seed for everybody, let that grow. Are there some, especially with something like this, I think one thing that people might not realize is that there are some consistent vendors. There are some products that are there on the regular. Can we touch on that a little bit, Michael?
So we have some vendors that are there regularly, eggs and meats. There's a farm, J&S Family Farms is there. There's Salsa Lady, Mella's Salsas. There's Purple Shamrock Baking, which is a lady who does this full-time as a bakery, as well as we're starting to get pretty fair attendance from a lady from Starlight Baking. It's not a full-time thing with her, but she's, the weekend she's available. She does work, and people do love her sourdough. There's been a cutlery vendor that's been there consistently, and a lady that sells tamales. She talks about possibly expanding into ready-to-eat foods next year, more licensing and stuff like that. But, she has a food truck in the summer and very popular, and she's talking about possibly moving into a few food items that people can eat at the market. The fry pies are very popular.
Yeah.
People love them. They're like a... they're great.
So, yeah.
Something you can buy and eat one there and then take some home for later.
So. Absolutely, yeah. So. All those are great. And man, I am a sucker for homemade bread. I love good homemade bread. Doesn't matter what kind it is. There's something about it. And all these products have that kind of that added ingredient to them, if you will. But there's also soaps and crafts and some other kind of things down there to keep you in mind. If you're maybe not looking for food, there's still other kind of things to, I think, browse and pique your interest.
Yeah, so we do have consistent soap vendors. We have crafts items. We have had for the last 3 weeks the historic Point Bass Wakely people there, sort of an informational time that they get people to see more about what that's all about. It's a way, the market's also a way for people like that to have an opportunity to present themselves to a greater public. People see more of them.
It's a great thing to mention, too, to people out there listening, especially our nonprofits out there listening, that this is another avenue to a real opportunity for you to get your voice, you're out there and be heard. That's really cool. I didn't know about that. That's really cool to hear. I do my homework for these things, man, and I didn't know that. That's great. We also wanted to mention, too, along with all of these great things, some of the other benefits of the Winters Farmers Market. I know we touched on some of this already, but I do want to do a deep dive on what the positives of the Winters Farmers Market.
So the Winter Farmers Market is a place that, like you've said, it's a place for people to meet, not only buy stuff, but, you know, get out of the house. It's conveniently placed between 9 and 1 so that, you know, those afternoon basketball and football games will not be...
Yes, nicely done.
Will not be affected. You know, and it's about community. And community with the vendors and community with each other when they're down there. You know, the Moravian Church is a lot about community. Old-fashioned term would be fellowship, but we'll use a more modern term, community. Just people interacting with each other, and that gives you that opportunity to do it.
It's something I wanted to touch on it when we had the opening and the opportunity, because we were talking earlier about a location for the Winters Farmers Market and the debate, you know, not the debate so much, but of where we put this, and the Moravian Church kind of stepping up and saying, hey, we've got room over here. And certainly the convenience for people out there that are used to going to the summer farmers market, and it's kitty corner, it's right there. So, you know, that is perfect for people. And we've touched on so many other aspects of this. One of the other things that I think is so wonderful about this is, in particular, the Moravian Church doing this. And I've been honest with the audience as much as I have with Beth and Seth about this one. Growing up, this is one organization that I did not know as much about. I did not know as deeply as I do some other faiths, growing up in a multi-faith family and everything. And getting to know Beth and Seth over the years and more about the church, more about Moravians in general, I can't think of a more perfect place to host this, where it is so come one, come all. I'll never forget telling Beth about my father looking for services and kind of wondering, you know, where it could go on a Sunday kind of thing. And I didn't tell Beth what his denomination was. She just said, hey, he can come here. And just right away realizing, well, this is the definition of opened arm. This is the definition of, hey, come one, come all. We love all. It makes it the perfect place to be able to have this. Along with it, doesn't hurt that it's a beautiful church. And there's nice. That's a nice basement. Got a lot of room down there, and it's a beautiful church. That doesn't hurt. Nice big parking lot too. That helps.
Well, we got a good parking lot. We got a basement. You know, the space. Nothing's happening in that space usually. You know, and you know, at that time of day, and you know, it's a way for us to give to the community. We have a elevator now, we put in a few years ago, so people give access to the space for people.
And we certainly want to remind people not only that economic impact, but the opportunity to learn from farmers and learn from our ag industry and learn from these vendors. I always, especially as we go along here in this game, I'm always looking for more and more opportunities for empathy out of our community, empathy out of our fellow individuals, our fellow community, our fellow human beings. And whether it's kind of a headline or not in this, a sub story of this, I feel, is it's pretty hard not to have empathy for somebody when you're looking them in the eyes. And you're buying their products. You're seeing literally the work on their face, the dirt under their nails, or whatever it might be. You're connecting with them. You're making contact. You're not buying something on a website online or something like that and working with a machine. You're talking to an actual human being. and the empathy that that can create. And hopefully the reminder, again, that this is the backbone of our state, the ag industry, our farmers, these individuals that are out there selling these products and everything. We're not talking to millionaires. We're not talking to people who are raking in the money and are doing this for the money or something like that. Nobody gets into these industries for that. They get into these industries because they of passion, of love, of so many other things. And that all comes across when you're sitting there talking to them, let alone buying their products and everything. That opportunity, I think, is fantastic. And I know we've mentioned it a little bit, Michael, but I really do want to hit on the idea that you come down there and you don't spend a dime. That's okay. We certainly want you to help support these vendors, certainly help yourself, help our economy. All those things are very important. But there's nothing more important than fellowship, than community. And in the giving the more of our senior population or even just people in our age ranges, an opportunity to get out of the house, talk to some people, see some people, not just working on your laptop or working on your phone or something like that, but having a real conversation. It's part of why not only do I encourage anybody out there listening to attend and take in this, I think it's literally one of those events that everybody out there, no matter who you are, can enjoy. But I really encourage families to bring kids down, to bring your teenagers down there and some of that. Get them familiar with these things. Get them familiar with our markets and these individuals that come to these markets. I was very lucky growing up in a melting pot and having these things around. So it was nothing for me and my brother and sister. We all still go to markets and stuff. We grew up with this. So we just kind of have it in our DNA to, hey, this is important. Hey, this is something we want to do. And not for nothing, everybody, some of the better products you're going to come across, I haven't even touched on that. Some of the more better products you're going to get are from these vendors and everything. So that's nothing to skate past either. There's so many advantages to this. Encourage you to check it out and find out more yourself. And the Winter Farmers Market really does a good job as well of bringing in interesting and different stuff from time to time, Michael, whenever you can.
Oh, absolutely. We you talked about kids. We've had a lady that does balloon animals. We have a lady that's come in a couple times called Braids from Kayla. She actually sells these braids they put in kids' heads. So there's things there for kids. We have popcorn, coffee, juice, those are all free, part of trying to be welcoming to people. And of course, like I said, we do have, we had the Wakely in there for several weeks, and we look for more people to like that we can put in as a opportunity for people to see different things. We're trying to make this a diverse market. Certainly some of those things that you see in the summer are not as easy for us to get.
Yeah.
There's not that many green gardens in the winter. there's a few places out there, but they're difficult to get. They're already, some of them are already committed to other places, but we're certainly looking for that, and we continue to try to grow and make this a more diverse, interesting place for people to come. Customers do sit there and talk with the vendors. They find out a lot. I talk with the vendors, and I find out a lot. I've learned a lot about chickens and the amount of eggs they hatch and all the different varied things that are involved in some of these things that these people do. Mm. It's a place more than just what you're buying, but also what you can learn and just something more interesting than looking at Saturday morning TV.
Yeah, very, very more, much more interesting. And to your point there, Michael, about wanting to bring in different people, if you're a vendor out there listening, you're somebody out there listening, we encourage you to reach out to the Winters Farmers Market and see if they got, because you guys got room over there from time to time.
Yes,
and we can fit more people.
We're still growing. We can fit more people. I have the basement laid out for 20 spaces right now. We haven't filled up. I can add more spaces, maybe 4 to 6 more spaces. So yeah, we're looking to grow. We're looking to make this bigger. You touched on our spring session. The reason we divided up the winter session and the spring session is we hope to, during the spring session, it's kind of a hybrid. If the weather's good, the vendors like bringing their tents. We'll be out in the parking lot. We'll set up in the parking lot with the tents. It almost seems more interesting sometimes when you can have that tent and individual tents. So if it's 65, we're probably going to be upstairs and their vendors will be set up out there. So, it's what we're trying to create here. It's a work in progress.
And certainly encourage you out there listening to spread the word about the Winters Farmers Market. Let people know about this. You just never know who might hear that information that didn't know otherwise. So be sure to spread the word about this, not only to your community members, but to people outside the community, whether they are a consumer or they want to be a vendor or a nonprofit out there. All come one, come all, because there is room, and we would love to have you as part of the Winters Farmers Market. And Michael, before we let you go, if people do have follow-up questions, they'd like to know more about the Winters Farmers Market and how they can be involved or just want to attend, how can they do that?
Well, there's a couple of ways. So you can contact me through our Facebook page, Winter Farmers Market, facebook.com, WR Winter Farmers Market. You can leave messages on there, and we take care of it. You can also call me, 697-9762. I think I got that right here. Yeah. And there's our email, which is wrwintersfarmersmarket@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And certainly typing it into your search bar, you should be able to come across most of these things. WRMoravian.org, a great website. You can contact them through that way or their Facebook page, as Michael was telling you. Throwing it into your search bar, you should be able to come up with that information. Again, thank you for the time, Michael. Appreciate you. Say hi to the whole team over there. And we'll be seeing you next weekend, because this weekend, again, February the 15th, the farmers market will be closed, but it'll be back open the next Saturday. We'll meet you there.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah. Thank you, Michael, and thank you to all of our guests throughout the whole week. We appreciate them. And a big thank you to our friends at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. Be sure to find out more about what they're doing. Go to their website, visitwisrapids.com, visitwisrapids.com. You can find out more information, and be sure to follow them on social media. If you need to reach out to them, that's another way to do it. And I want to say a big thank you, of course, to Pam Hilke, the amazing scheduler behind this show, and, of course, the heart of WFHR. We greatly appreciate you, Pam. One more time, a big thank you to all of our guests throughout the week. We got more great guests coming up next week. We're going to kick off the week next week with Midday Magazine with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher joining us. Looking forward to that, and looking forward to talk with you again sooner than later, right here, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on this Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says the number of federal workers accepting his buyout offer is 5 to 10% short of the goal he was hoping to hit.
75,000 is a lot of people. And we paid them well. You know, we gave them a lot of months of severance pay, if you call it that.
Trump also announced his reciprocal tariffs on imported cars will begin April 2nd. Investigators now say the crew of the Army helicopter that collided with an American Airlines jet last month may not have heard an order to pass behind the plane. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy.
We will issue an urgent safety recommendation. If we see that something needs to be acted on immediately, we won't wait till the end of the investigation.
In Italy, CBS's Seth Doan reports Pope Francis has been hospitalized with severe bronchitis.
He has been keeping this busy schedule. We saw him outside presiding at Mass on Sunday, and outside Mass it has been kind of chilly in Rome, and we've seen him breathless a few times over the last 10 days.
The Pope is 88. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8.